Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Architect Podcast. And today we're talking about oil. I know it's not that exciting, but you know what? It affects everything else. We need to talk about it because, you know, we heard a certain politician who happens to run the country, sort of, make a comment about how, you know, there's 9,000 permits and the oil people should be drilling. In this podcast, we're going to talk about why they're not, why they may not, and why they may not in the future. Stay tuned for the Wealth Architect Podcast.
It's Mark Yeagy here, Wealth Architect and Lifestyle Investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Hello, hello. It's Mark Yeagy. Welcome back to the Wealth Architect Podcast. And I can't wait to get into this little subject because you know what? You can listen to the press and you can listen to the politicians, but if you use your own common sense, you'll get a complete understanding of what's going on in the oil market. So, you know, oil is now topped $120 a barrel if you use Brent North Sea crude as your gauge, or it's topped $112 a barrel if you use, you know, the Texas intermediate crude, West Texas crude, the stuff we make here in the United States. And the price is not letting up, right? And what everybody's trying to do is get you distracted, and they're telling you what it is and what it is. I'm going to give you the facts here so that you can make your own decision. And I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on. You can figure out what one I'm on, but I don't give those kinds of things. I let you make your decision. I'm not going to try to skew it, but I will, let's say, use common sense. First of all, let's start with an economics discussion, right? When there's a scarcity of something, okay, the price of it will go up. If there's demand for it, well, we need oil, right? We drive every day. Most of us don't have the $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 to $100,000 to buy a Tesla or a Porsche for $200,000 electric car. Most of us have, you know, gas-powered cars. That's been created over the last 100 and something years, right? It's not like it's a big surprise that we use oil here, right? But the politicians want you to think that it's a bad thing. And all of a sudden, it's killing the environment, which there's, in my opinion, not a lot of proof that it's the oil that's killing the environment. But, you know, we can say that the earth is getting warmer and it's because of CO2 emissions. We can have that debate. And that debate, it happens to be winning in the political climate that we have today. But that's not serving you. So if you're on that side of the debate, then you are one of the people that's like, yeah, let's get more, you know, more electricity. Well, when you get more electricity going to electric cars, that's got to be produced somewhere, right? So without debating that, let's talk about oil, right? Because we're not all going to start driving electric cars tomorrow. You can't just turn it around. Tesla doesn't have enough of them. None of the other companies are making enough of them. And so we're faced with the reality that we are an oil-based world, not just country. It's not the United States that's going to change the climate, if that's the case. It's the whole world, right? And the whole world has to communicate and cooperate on this thing, right? And they're not. And that's okay. So we have the reality we have to face. We can't just wish and hope, you know, I hope you can't look out at your garden and go, I hope there's no weeds. I hope there's no weeds. I wish there weren't any weeds. You have to acknowledge that there's weeds in the garden and then you got to pull them. So let's pull some of those weeds today. Let's start with the fact that the world is industrializing more and more. So we don't hear much about it in the West, but African nations are industrializing like at exponential rates. All these little countries in Africa that we kind of left for dead, and you know, we saw commercials about people starving over there. These are economies that are now flourishing, right? So let's go with that one. Let's go with some of these other economies in Asia that are now flourishing because China has gotten to be pretty expensive as a producer. And so now Vietnam and Cambodia and Laos and other Asian nations are now taking part in the industrialization of their own countries to supply the West with goods, just like China did. So now there's more competition. What that means is anytime there's productivity and production in an economy, that advances the economy, right? I mean, if you think about an economy of 1,000 years ago, it's not like they were driving around in cars or anything like that. Only the rich people even had horses, if there were horses, right? And it wasn't like everybody was cruising around using energy. I mean, they had candles if you were rich. So now we've got all this abundance of energy. Why? Because of petroleum, right? And we have solar energy and we have wind energy and we have nuclear energy and we have all these other energies, coal energy. And that's supplied the industrialization of our country, of Europe, of Asia, and all these other big Western and Eastern countries that have gone so far. But now the other rest of the world is catching up. You think they're going to all move over to electric cars and pay twice the price of an electric car when they can use a combustion engine? No. So it's the industrialization of the world that's going to keep oil prices up. If you think oil prices are going back down in the next couple of years, I'm pretty sure you got another thing coming, right? Because they're not, because that's one factor. Let's start with that. Number two, in this country and in a lot of Western countries, there's a lot of bad juju around oil, right? If you're oil, you're bad and you're killing the environment and you're creating global warming and we're going to regulate you. We're going to pass this $97 trillion Green New Deal and we're going to, you know, regulate you out of business. And when new regimes come in, they put in regulations to prevent you from drilling and doing all these other things. And then they come out and say, yeah, but we got 9,000 permits that people are not using to drill. Why aren't these oil companies using them to drill? Well, would you, if you had regulations staring at you in the face, if you had the rest of the world and Greta Thunberg and you had climate deals being made around the world that some countries don't have to abide by, but we have all of a sudden do, like, would you go out and invest millions and billions of dollars in exploring and producing more oil in a country that doesn't want you to? Like, I don't think I would. I wouldn't want to do anything in a country that doesn't want me to, right? If they're going to vilify me and make me the bad guy, I'm not going to do any favors for them. And now the government's like, oh, we need to produce more oil. I don't understand why they're not using the 9,000 oil wells that they have. Well, first of all, it takes a couple of years to even know if there's oil there and to even get the oil produced in those things, right? And so oil has been depressed. Not depressed, well, depressed compared to these prices, but they've been, you know, it's been a lot cheaper over the last couple of years. So there hasn't been a lot of incentive. And then as the new regimes come in, they're like, well, we're not going to go, produce more oil now because, you know, now they don't want us to, because they're telling us they're going to regulate us out of business. They're going to make our cars be much more efficient, which means we're going to sell oil. Why would we want to produce and spend money when we don't even know how much longer we're going to be able to produce? Like, there's too much uncertainty. You can't have it both ways. Either you're going to vilify them and you're going to be upset that your oil is going to be expensive, or you're going to go, you know what? We need oil. Let's encourage them to get oil. And let's meantime, you know, make it so that people buy electric cars or whatever. Right. And they've been doing that. There's a $7,500 tax incentive to make you buy an electric car. That's what made Tesla what it is today. If you bought an electric car, you got $7,500 like right off the bat. That's our money that we paid Tesla owners to buy those cars. Elon Musk is no dummy. He did that on purpose. Right. That's how the company became a $1 trillion company. It's not brain surgery. Okay. So you've got all these bad talk, AOC and all these people talking about it. So that's kind of a headwind. Like, you can't expect them to be your friends when all you do is bash them, right? So, you know, and then it takes on top of it a long time to get those things producing. And then after you produce them, they might say, you know what? We don't want your oil anymore anyway. And let's not forget this. Oil has gone from, let's say, $46 a barrel a couple of years ago to $112 a barrel, more than doubled. If you're still producing the same amount of oil you produced before, you just doubled your money. You doubled your sales. Why would you go out there and incur all these costs when you could just double your sales? And then you know what we do? We let them buy their stock back. So that drives the stock up. All the people that work there are getting stock options. So they're getting all rich, right? Because they're taking the money from the extra money they make from the oil. They're driving their stocks up, which is completely legal. You may not like it, but it's legal. And there's really nothing wrong with it. But instead of investing back in the earth, I wouldn't invest back in the earth. I'd drive my stock up so that I get rich, right? They got shareholders. The shareholders aren't all bad people. You might own some Exxon and some Valero and some BP. I mean, I don't know what you own, but if you own some of those, you're probably happy that they're making more money, right? So you can't blame them for trying to make more money and using whatever system they're going to use. Like, you put all these pieces together, I don't think you want to be in the oil business. And if you are, you're fine making twice as much money as you were making last year before all this stuff hit. And then they're going to blame Ukraine. Let me just read you here how much we get. Russian crude oil and petroleum product exports to the United States represent 8% of all its imported oil and less than 2% of the U.S. supply. So if you want to go over there and go, well, we have a Russian war with Ukraine. Yes, it does enter into it because the demand for oil goes up in the rest of the world. Europe really gets a ton of its oil from Russia. And so that conflict is creating an increase in price over there, which creates an increase in price over here. I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying we can't say that because there's a Russian thing going on, that's why it's gone up. Okay. Then we've got OPEC. Like OPEC is the Saudi Arabian, Yemen, and Kuwait and UAE and all these people that produce oil. They get together and they go, why would we want to make more oil when the whole world needs us to produce oil, but they're willing to pay twice as much because they got to pay, right? They don't want to produce it over in their country. They think the oil in their country only has a cloud above its country. Like if you make oil in the United States, you pull it out of here, it only affects global warming over the United States. Like people, think about it. It's a world, right? And then China doesn't even show up to the last climate accord. And they're the ones that are burning the most amount of coal. So this is all a bunch of BS, guys. I don't care what side of the aisle you lean on or you land on, but you got to understand, like, it's not all you think it is. Like some of it is common sense. I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down here on the common sense, but oil is a supply and demand thing. And then finally, I'm going to tell you, like I always do in all these things, that it goes back to the Fed, right? And we've been printing and printing and printing. In the last 2 years, we printed more money than we printed in the last 10 years. We printed more money than 80% of the time we've been in existence as the United States. And if you look at the curve, it's going parabolic on how much money we've printed. And that means that money is sloshing around the economy, okay? That's demand. People are going to want to drive bigger cars. They want to travel places, buy airline tickets, you know, use oil, because I don't know if you noticed, but like pretty much everything around us is plastic, right? You get in your car and the whole thing is plastic. You can look around your house, it's plastic. You look at your monitors and your laptops, they're all plastic. Where do you think that comes from? The plastic fairy? It comes from oil, petroleum, right? So it's all going to go up and it's all going to continue to go up and you're going to continue to pay more unless we drill and we give incentives for these companies to drill and want to be here. But we're driving the price of everything up, right, with the Fed and spending all this money as governments do all around the world, and we're driving up the cost of things. This is not going away. And the last thing I'll say is that this is a tax on poor people, right? Poor people. Rich people can handle paying, flying around in private jets. They can handle buying airplane tickets. They can handle driving big cars and paying, you know, I paid $82 to fill up my car today. And, you know, 2 months ago it was $52, right? And it's going up and it's staying up. It's a tax on the poor. Anybody that needs their car to go to work and come home is going to pay more for that, right? For that trip. Anybody that wants to go buy an egg, well, that egg came because somebody drove it to that store. Well, they used, you know, petroleum fuel, diesel and gas in the truck to drive it to the store. But if that price goes up, then all of a sudden now you're paying more for the eggs. Like it all works together, but it all starts with the Fed. It starts with the irresponsibility of the government. That's why our debt is exploding. That's why our dollar is debasing at a rapid rate. That's why I think Bitcoin is going to be the future. You know, other commodities like oil and gas and agriculture and gold and silver and platinum will be as well, and real estate. So you've got to start thinking about your future because everything is changing. Everything is changing, and it's changing because of oil. So don't believe the BS politicians spew at you about why people aren't drilling. Use your own common sense and figure out your own wealth strategy when it comes to oil and when it comes to putting other things together for your own wealth future. So thanks for tuning into this edition to the Wealth Architect Podcast. I hope it was helpful, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.